Oh, yes. Here we go again. Can't wait to dig in this morning. Lots of stuff to talk about, folks. Good morning, Australia. It is Tuesday, September 28. And my name is Luke Boner, and Miss Jessica is at the other end of the phone. She is ready to pounce on your calls because we have a lot to get through. The telephone number hasn't changed, 133353. If you want to get through and have your say, if you want to send us an email, you can, nightshift@triplem.com.au. You can follow our progress on our Facebook page. All the stories we talk about throughout the morning are there on Facebook. You can read them at your leisure and feel free to leave a comment. And the podcast is there. If you missed any of our programs in the past, they are all there. All the best bits are in separate clips. It's really easy to do. Even I've been able to negotiate it. And if you download the Listener app, that's free. L-I-S-T-N-R. This makes it so much easier. And everything that Triple M has to offer is there. But we are a talk radio program. Are you ready to talk, Australia? Is there something on your mind? Is there something we need to talk about? Let's get it off our chests this morning. And let's share it with the nation. As I say, 133353, you can get through right now. Caller of the week will win another Triple M T-shirt. I'm going to give away a litre of Swift Grow fertiliser and a month's supply of Power Pollen Nature Bee to our caller of the week. And I'll be giving stuff away randomly this morning, but not to people who ask, to people I feel deserve it. But yeah, if there's anything you need to talk about this morning, let's go. Well, it would appear that Freedom Day is arriving for New South Wales. How does the rest of Australia feel about this? Sydney's tourism industry is getting ready to celebrate Freedom Day. There are special deals that are going to be done. The Sydney Visitor Centre is hoping that Sydneysiders are planning ahead and getting ready to get out and enjoy themselves. But what of the rest of Australia? What of Queensland, Victoria, and WA? South Australia is saying, look, we will probably, when Victoria and New South Wales gets to 80%, we'll relax our border issues and we'll start to enjoy people coming in and having a look. But it looks as though New South Wales is going to become the first state or territory to begin this new era in which the fully vaccinated we'll be able to go to pubs, cafes, and other venues. At this point, the unvaccinated will be stopped at the door. But here's the thing. Here's the rub. Is that a hoax? Because there's talk that only the double vaccinated, the fully vaccinated, will be able to have these freedoms, but that will only last for a while. And then as it gets to 90%, unvaccinated people will have their free reign as well. So, at the moment, to access any greater freedoms in New South Wales, members of the public are going to have to use digital or paper certificates to show a venue that they've had both jabs. Now, retail workers, many of them young and working on their own, are likely to be on the front line of any public hostility to the system. Retailers have already seen increased violence towards staff when enforcing just the simple COVID rules like masks and asking people to check in. This is what worries me, that staff, retail staff, are going to cop the brunt of people's, of shoppers' frustration and anger. And I want to ask you your thoughts on this. Should it be left up to individual retail stores, restaurants, pubs, clubs, etc.? If it's mandated by the New South Wales government, it makes it a lot easier for these people to enforce the rules because they simply put their hands up and say, not our fault. Just like the smoking rule. Everybody now understands you can't smoke inside venues, but when the rule change came in, there was a lot of anger. A lot of anger. And it was easier for the staff of those venues to say to angry smokers, look, I understand what you're saying. No, I get it. I understand. But look, it's not our fault. we will cop a fine if we let you smoke in here. Now, the difference with this, and look, they change their rules every day, but I was listening to the radio on my way to work yesterday, is that it will be the individual that will cop the fine if they don't mask up or if they come into a venue with false medical records, if they have forged a certificate, if they have somehow worked out a way to forge around a QR code, and I don't know how you do that, but people are smart, the police will come in and do random checks. And if you are found to be in a premises and you are not fully vaccinated, the individual is going to cop the fine, not the venue. How do you feel about that? I think that's fair enough. I actually think that if somebody forges an ID and gets into a licensed premises when they're not over the age of 18, and it's a very good forge, I don't believe it's the venue that should be fined. I think it should be the individual. I've always said that. Why don't we talk about that? Who should be responsible for policing this? There's going to be a lot of anger for a long time until people get used to this. If a licensed venue has somebody inside and they're not over the age of 18, but they have gone to the trouble to forge a very good forgery of their license, why should the licensed venue cop that fine? I've always said this. If it's the individual that's lied, it's the individual that should be fined. And if it's someone who's 16 or 17 and they're using someone else's license and they've deliberately gone to this trouble to get into a licensed venue, well, sorry, they cop the fine, make it a $10,000 fine or a $50,000 fine, and then mummy and daddy can worry about it. They have mum and dad to answer to. I don't believe it's right that licensed venues who are doing their best and have absolutely suffered like you wouldn't believe during COVID, why should they have to cop fines for people who are deliberately forging their details? Do you agree? What do you make of it? 133353 is the telephone number. Now, you might remember last night, I got a caller from Rachel. I think she was in Geelong. And Rachel was a little bit confused about the vaccination. She rang up because she was in a dilemma. She suffers epilepsy, hasn't had a fit in a long, long time. But she's concerned that if she has the vaccination, it may bring on an epileptic fit. And if that happens, she could lose her driver's license. Her doctor said to her, you're going to be fine. There's a very, very small, just a minute chance that the vaccination could bring on an epileptic fit. I think you're going to be fine. But she's taken on that medical advice. But then she said, oh, but I don't want to have a live version of the strain injected into me. And I said, no, it's not. She said, yes, it is. I said, well, no, it's not. And she said, yes, it is. I said, every medical professional I've spoken to says it's not. And I tried to explain to her how it was explained to me, that it's like a DNA protein inside a fatty bubble. Your white cells absorb it, recognize it. And so when the COVID virus comes along, your white cells say, ah, that's something I've been programmed to reject. And the mRNA is a similar thing. And it's not a live version, a live strain of the virus. But she wouldn't believe me. So our resident GP, Dr. Brad Mackay, has written a book. It's called Fake Medicine. I'm going to get some copies to give away to you folks. The book is called Fake Medicine. I'm going to talk to Dr. Brad later this morning, and we're going to go through some of the most common myths surrounding the vaccination, and he will hopefully debunk them for us this morning. As you can hear, my voice is still struggling after the weekend, so I'm going to need your help this morning. Hopefully you can do most of the talking. If you could ring through now, that'd be great. 133353 is the telephone number. Now, what else is going on in the world? There's plenty going on this morning. Plenty going on. I wanted to talk to you folks about double demerit points, which come into effect over the long weekend usually, but not in New South Wales this year. The October long weekend double demerit points have been scrapped by the New South Wales police. And I don't understand why. Motorists are going to be spared double demerits over the upcoming October long weekend. The police are claiming that they want to give people of New South Wales a break. This sounds very unlike the police minister, David Elliott, that I know. Because he has argued for many, many years that double demerit points save lives. That when people know if they are going to get double the demerit points if they get caught speeding, it slows people down. Maybe, just maybe, David Elliott thinks that there'll be fewer cars on the road this weekend. Well, he'd be right. In New South Wales, so far this year, 203 people have lost their lives on New South Wales roads. In 2020, there were 10,806 hospitalisations with serious injuries. And according to data from Transport New South Wales, there were more deaths up to this time in 2020, with 215 lives lost on the road. I don't understand why they're dropping double demerit points. Now, I got done one weekend. It was many, many years ago. I was doing 11 kilometres an hour over the speed limit. It was double demerit weekend and I copped it. But I tell you, Jesus, it slowed me down. It was a massive lesson. Yeah, I was 11 over. 11 over, 91 and an 80. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not making any excuses, but there were no other cars on the road, and I was in a new car. I wasn't used to it, and no excuses. It's got a speedo, had a speedometer, my fault, but it taught me a massive lesson. Should double demerit points be scrapped just because we feel people are living under too many rules at the moment? I want to ask you, what are your thoughts? Are there any highway patrol officers listening to us this morning? Do double demerit points work? Do you see fewer people speeding and not wearing seatbelts, etc., on double demerit long weekends? I can't believe it. New South Wales has dropped it for this weekend. The ads, by the way, are still going to air. Where was it? Was it on Channel 7 yesterday? I saw an ad warning motorists in New South Wales about double demerit points. I thought, Jesus, they just announced it was scrapped. How much are these ads costing the taxpayers? They're wrong. Anyway, just thought I'd bring it up. 133353 is the telephone number. Now, I want to ask you this question. Do you have a new driver in your household? And are they amongst the increasing drivers around Australia who are opting not to get a manual license? I'm going to take a poll on this morning. In Queensland, for example, Queenslanders are ditching the clutch. With only 41% of 60,000 licenses granted last year for manual drivers, a 21 percentage point drop in 11 years. It's also a 4-point drop since 2018. But wait, it gets more interesting. New cars being sold around Australia show that overwhelmingly automatic cars are the preferred choice. Now, when you look at these statistics, you've got to really think about it. Could that just be because there are more automatic cars now on the road because people have been opting to ditch the clutch for such a long, long time? And you've got electronic technology already there and around the corner. I was interested to see that the Queensland Motor Transport Authority CEO, who was a bloke called Rod Cam, he said the trend is probably going to continue and could even accelerate with the increasing prevalence of electric cars because all electric cars are automatic. There's no transmission. All electric cars are automatic. So purchasing manual cars actually isn't that easy. As of June 2021, 60% of drivers aged 16 to 29, and 93.7% of people older than 50 held a manual license. The Department of Transport said the shift to automatic vehicles being cheaper, easier, and more accessible is now steering younger drivers out of opting for the manual option. Automatic vehicles, they are the preferred in urban settings where they're easier to drive in heavily trafficked areas. I'd like to hear from anyone who owns a driving school. I am tipping, and I could be wrong, but I am tipping that every single one of your students are driving automatic cars. How many learner driver motor vehicles, you know, the ones with the separate clutch and brake, how many of them are manual? So you only need a separate brake. You don't need a clutch. It's interesting. More and more drivers opting to ditch the clutch and automatic cars. I think they'll soon be everywhere. The day is coming, maybe in 10 years' time, where there'll be no manuals left at all. Is that right? Can we actually do without manual cars? I actually think you're a better driver if you learn in a manual. You learn to listen to your car's engine. You understand the torque. You feel the revs. You go around the corner and you change from third down to second and accelerate around that corner in a lower gear, then change again. That's the way I was taught. And I actually think that manual car drivers are better drivers. There's an outrageous statement. Give me a call and tell me if you reckon I'm right or wrong. 133-53 is the telephone number. God, there's a lot of other stuff I want to talk about. Jess has found this story. What is the best Aussie ice cream? Is there one that is no longer around that you miss? Because there's big news today, folks. Bubble-O Bill fans, you can get excited. The iconic Australian ice cream, which has been a staple of school canteens and convenience stores since 1986, is finally back, and you can buy it in bulk at supermarkets. From today, Tuesday, September 28, Australians can pick up a four-pack of Bubble-O Bills in Woolworths and Coles. Street said it had decided to release the original version in multi-pack form after overwhelming demand. Excited Bubble-O Bill devotees have already taken to Facebook to celebrate the news. One person wrote, "My wish has been granted. I can't wait." Jesus. Another said, "No need for those late night servo runs anymore." Really? People get up and go to a servo for a Bubble-O Bill? To celebrate the supermarket debut, Streets are releasing a Bubble-O Bill autobiography titled "O Is Me." Inside the inside scoop on his humble beginnings. It's an autobiography about Bubble-O Bill. Can you believe this? What other ice creams have disappeared and needs a comeback? What ice creams can't you buy in bulk at a supermarket? We have young kids next door. One's four, one's two. And we bought some chocolate paddle pops, the lion paddle pops, last summer for them to have whenever they stick their head over the fence and ask nicely. But I noticed you can't get triple treats anymore. Does anybody remember triple treats? We had discussions about the Golden Gay Time and does it need to be renamed because it's now inappropriate? I would say that Golden Gay Time is probably more appropriate than any other time. What ice cream has disappeared, one that you loved when you were a child that you reckon they need to bring back? Because we have the power here on the night shift. We can, I'll take a poll on this, and the one that wins, we will go to Coles and Woolies. Jess and I will go on your behalf and we'll say we want these ice creams reinstated. Or maybe we need to go to Streets first or whoever. There you go, the Bubble-O Bill. I always thought the Bubble-O Bill was stupid. My kids loved them. I never had them. They weren't around when I was growing up. This is more of a Jess thing. Excuse me while I sip my tea. The Bubble-O Bill, 1986. Yeah, it's more of a Jess thing. And when my kids wanted one, I always thought it was stupid because the nose, which is the bubble gum, well, you had to leave that to last, and it was the thing that would fall off in the dirt first. I always thought it was the most stupidly designed ice cream in the world. Now, the triple treat, folks. Now, there's something that Jess will never be able to experience. Mind you, it wasn't designed too well either. It didn't have a stick. It was a block, a rectangular block of ice cream in a wrapper. And you had to eat it very quickly because it would soon melt and dissolve in the packet. Remember, you peeled the packet back and you'd expose about a third of it. And if you weren't quick, the heat from your hands would melt the whole thing. You'd just be a slobbery mess in the packet at the very end. No stick, but it was good, wasn't it? Wasn't it good? Anyway, let's take a poll. What's the best Aussie ice cream that is no longer around? 1-333-53 is the telephone number. For our rugby league fans, Manly's Tom Trbojevic has capped off an amazing season. He's won the 2021 Dally M medal as the NRL's Player of the Year. He polled 35 points with Nathan Cleary second with 30. The Manly star only played 15 of a possible 24 matches during the regular season. He's also claimed Fullback of the Year. So there you go. I just never don't get these football awards. It's supposed to be about the footballers, and it's always about the girlfriends on the red carpet and how revealing their thigh-cut dresses are. Personally, I don't give a rat's ass. But tomorrow's papers are going to be full of the wags and the red carpets. Tom Trbojevic may get a mention, but you watch. It'll be his girlfriend that gets more time in the papers. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Anyway, look, there's plenty of other stuff I want to talk about this morning, but I want to talk to you. If there's something that you think we need to discuss, let's jump into it. I'll give you your national weather forecast shortly. Remember, Call of the Week is drawn on Friday. A Triple M T-shirt, a month's supply of Power Pollen, 1 litre of Swift Grow to our winner. We have a brand new quickie today. It was won yesterday. Were you listening? It was won in the last hour of the program. Yesterday's quickie sounded like that, and it ended up being this. Yep, it was Zombie. So the Cranberries, that was yesterday's quickie. We had a winner. So a brand new quickie coming up later this morning. Rod Hanafy, the president of the National Road Freighters Association, with trucking news. That's coming up in exactly 35 minutes. If you have a question for Rod Hanafy, if there's a trucking or road safety issue that you need to discuss with the man himself, he is here on the radio for you in about half an hour from now. So look, it's all happening. Let's get the wheels turning. It is a brand new day. It is Tuesday, September 28th. You're listening to The Night Shift around Australia and around the world on the Triple M Network. Pearl Jam here on The Night Shift with Luke Boner and Miss Jessica. It's great to have your company. Lots to talk about. If you want to get through, you can right now. Rod Hanafy coming up in half an hour with his thoughts. Quick look at the weather details today. Perth, partly cloudy, 23. Adelaide, a shower or two, 22. Melbourne, good morning, a late shower, 23. Hobart, cloudy today, 17. Albury, Wodonga, showers developing with storms coming up right through the week, 22 today. Canberra, a shower or two and storms all week, 20 degrees. Wollongong, Sydney, Newcastle, mostly sunny, 23 today, but showers forecast Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Brisbane, cloudy and 21. Townsville, partly cloudy, 28. Cairns, a shower or two, 30 degrees. Darwin, mostly sunny, 33. Alice Springs, partly cloudy, 35 today. And Toowoomba, 17 expected, and maybe one millimetre of rain today. 30% chance of rain in Toowoomba. 133353 is the telephone number. Let's talk. Let's get to know each other. If you've never rung before, make today your day. And if you are an established member of the Night Shift family, come on down. Michael, good morning to you.
Morning, Luke. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, very good, Michael.
Just about the manual license and everything.
Well, more and more people, as I say, are opting to ditch the clutch. And to be honest, I'm not surprised, especially if you're learning. Haven't got to worry about hill starts, but there are more and more automatic cars on the road. There are more automatic cars than there are manuals at the moment. What do you put this down to?
I suppose it's convenience, but I've got four kids. My youngest is 19.
Mm.
He's yet to get off his butt and get his license, but he's done all his hours. He's ready to go.
Mm.
And all four of my kids have got their license on a manual car.
Well, there you are.
And I'm 56, and I've had two automatic cars in my lifetime.
Yeah, I learned on the manual, and the reason is we didn't have an automatic. Automatics were very expensive back in the day, and most cars were manual. But my son learnt on a manual, and my oldest stepdaughter, she learnt on the manual. It was a Tarago, a manual Tarago, no power steering, and they learnt on that. But the rest of the kids, all automatics, they wouldn't know what to do with a clutch and a stick.
Yeah, a lot of them don't. I think it's convenience. And that, and the case is there is more automatics. Like, I've got a manual Commodore now, a V8, and my lease is up in May next year. I don't know what I'm going to get.
Oh, you're probably getting an automatic.
I like my manuals and that's it.
Well, I actually think you're a better driver if you learn to drive in a manual. And I want to discuss this with anyone who's willing to have a crack this morning. If you think I'm wrong, let me know. But I just think changing down gears, changing up gears, it puts you in tune with your car, don't you reckon?
Yep, absolutely. No arguments there whatsoever.
There's even been talk, and not in Queensland, but in New South Wales, It didn't get over the line and it won't, but they were talking about mandating that all learners must get their license on a manual car before they're allowed to drive an automatic. But that simply can't be upheld and enforced, because where do learner drivers get hold of a manual car if most of the learner driver instructors have got automatics now? And if mum and dad's car is an automatic, how is a learner supposed to drive and learn to drive on a manual? You can't.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that's you can't. Can't do it. Unless it's a sports car or something powerful or something exotic. Even those have got those dual clutch semi-automatic things in them, and there is no actual foot clutch.
Yeah. I own an automatic now, and Nikki, believe it or not, drives an automatic. Her work truck, when she was window cleaning, her work truck, which was a Toyota Hiace dual cab, it was manual, and she and I were the only ones that could drive it. If the kids wanted to borrow it, well, they were stuffed. If you own a manual car, the kids will never ask you to borrow the car.
Well, I haven't got that problem because I can all drive a manual.
That's right. Well done. But I reckon...
Another thing while I got you, the double demerits cancellation in New South Wales, that's a bit scary.
I think it's massive. And I don't know why. According to the Police Minister, David Elliott, I might get David on tomorrow. I'll ask him why they've made this decision. He says it's because the people of New South Wales are probably sick and tired of being bullied around and told what they can and can't do. He's giving them a break. I don't wear that. And that's not like David. Double demerit points were put in place to save lives. They argued for years it was nothing about revenue raising. Think of the money they'll lose.
Well, it's a big deterrent. That's how I see it.
I agree.
A little bit of extra care in it, yeah.
I absolutely agree with you. I can't believe that I'm saying I want more rules and regulations to live by. But I thought double demerit points were a good idea. There's something else significant happening this weekend, Michael. Do you know what it is?
Tell me.
Daylight saving.
Oh, beauty. Love it.
Daylight saving. I'm going to talk about
this. Love it.
Do you? Why?
Love it.
Why?
Let's put it in place and leave it there.
Why?
That'll stir them up, won't it?
And tell me why you love it.
I just like the extra hours at night rather than in the morning. I'm not a morning person at the best of times.
That's your argument?
That's my argument. No, that's it.
That's all you got. Okay. Michael, lovely to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks, mate.
Okay, mate. Bye-bye. 133353, you want to jump on board? We are ready to be jumped on. You can email us, nightshift@triplem.com.au. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We are here thanks to SwiftGrow. If it's green and it grows, you will love SwiftGrow. And NatureBee Power Pollen, get your energy back and get ready for Freedom Day. Back after this. Ben's in Perth. Good morning, Ben.
Yo, how you going, mate?
Good, thanks. Ben. Yeah.
How are you?
Very good, Ben. What's on your mind? What are we talking about?
These icy poles.
Well, we weren't on the icy poles. We were on the Bubble O Bills, but let's move on to icy poles. They still make them.
Yeah, I know. The twin poles.
Oh, the double ones.
The double ones, yeah.
I've forgotten about them.
Yeah, is that?
Two sticks. That's right. Are they no longer around?
Nah, mate. I haven't seen them for
I forgot.
Bloody years.
Ben, I've got to send you something. That is sensational. I had forgotten about the double-sticked icy pole.
Yeah.
And you could get them in different flavours.
Yeah, yeah.
The rainbow one was
Yeah,
icy poles. The two-sticked icy poles. Fantastic stuff.
What's that?
What else can't you get anymore?
What's the other ones called? The triangle ones used to...
Glug, Raz, called? Sunny Boys.
Yeah, Sunny Boys, that's it. Yep.
No, they're back.
Oh, are they?
Sunny Boys are definitely back. In the supermarkets. Yeah, the triangle. Yeah. Now, there was a Raz, which was raspberry.
Yeah.
And I think the Glug was green.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, Sunny Boys are good. So the twin poles. Yeah. Love the twin poles.
Very, very good. I'd forgotten about them. Well done, Ben. 133353. Cameron, good morning. No, where's Cameron gone? Cameron.
Yeah, hello, I'm here.
Yeah, good day, Cameron.
Yeah, morning, Luke. Long time sort of listener and first time caller, mate.
Good day, Cam.
Thanks for having me on.
Welcome to the family, mate. What's up?
Just a manual licensing, mate. I'm a young fella. I'm only 25 this year. Mm. And my first car is a manual, would you believe it?
That is really unusual. How come?
Well, partly because I didn't get my license until I was 19. So I got it a year later in Victoria here.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to buy my first car myself. So I did that last year. So I roll around in a little 88 Mazda 323. It's a manual for a 30-year-old car. It's done under 150,000 km, and I love it. It's great to drive.
Yeah, but how old are you again?
I'm 25, so the car's older than me, mate.
Yeah, that is really funny. I bet your mates can't drive it.
They probably can. I would say for regional areas, Luke, it's probably more prevalent that people will get their license in a manual. In newer cars, probably not as common around here. I could say a lot of families sort of have stuck with whatever car they've had for maybe 5-10 years. A lot of people have work cars with the manuals or stuff like that. And you were mentioning before about the factors of the newer cars coming in, them mostly being automatics and obviously electric cars. That does take up probably 50%, 75% of the reasons. But I think a lot of the other factor is, if you look at it now, kids as young as sort of 14, 15 are working.
Mm.
So they're getting money in behind them and into the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time they get to, 17, 18, 19, they're able to buy their own car, and it's generally a new car.
Yeah.
And obviously part of the reason for that is because they're safer as well. Governments and the road commissions and that have been hammering us with ads and that, buy a new car, Your young drivers are more susceptible to accidents, which is true. And and new cars are a lot safer. That is, yes, but a lot of it comes down to attitude and driving, I would say, as well. So in that regard, there, Luke, there's a lot of contributing factors to that, mate. But in saying that, you know, I love my little car and I'm going to keep hold of it for as long as I can.
Let me put something out there that the Confederation of Australian Motorsport was a thought bubble many, many years ago, and it's worth discussing now. They, in association with the NRMA in New South Wales, were very concerned that kids on their P's were driving old shit-bomb cars. And it's simple. Why? They don't have much money. The older cars were cheaper. But the older cars were not as safe as new cars. Back then, your average P-plater's car was probably about 20 years old. It didn't have ABS brakes. It didn't have airbags. It didn't have any of the safety features that new cars have. And there was concern that P-platers around Australia were driving dangerous cars. You with me? That's changed now. Because cars that are 15, 20 years old now all have ABS brakes and airbags, don't they?
Yeah, that would be correct. And I can see where you're coming from with that, and I would agree with that. A lot of the older cars were, you know, probably rubbish in that regard in terms of safety. But, I mean, you can look at that in terms of safety features in cars and even in motorsport as well, how far safety has come along. And, yeah, in that regard, you know, most P-platers nowadays have an early 2000s Commodore or something, which has got airbags and ABS and traction control and that sort of thing.
Mm.
I think a lot of it as well is probably attitude. You know, when you're young and you're of that age, you think you're invincible and that nothing can touch you, nothing can hurt you. So, you know, there's that sort of recklessness as well in terms of the driving attitude on the road. And I see it around heaps today at the minute, mate. You know, I'm generally on the road for a lot. I'm a taxi driver in Gippsland, Victoria, mate. You know, the younger drivers, it's almost seen more as a right rather than a privilege for them to have their license. You know,
you've just nailed it. Yes, they think it's a right to have a license. They don't understand it's a privilege. And you do not understand how lucky you are to have a license until one day it's taken away from you, whether it be because of a medical condition or whether you were a dickhead on double demerit points or maybe you stupidly didn't judge how much you'd had to drink and you lose your license. And especially when you need your license to earn a living, that's when you really appreciate it. Are you with me?
Yeah, yep.
Let's talk about young kids and the cars they drive today. My son, who's 30, the first car he ever owned was given to him by his sister when she left to live in London. It was a little white Hyundai XL. Do you remember when they first came out?
Yep. Oh, there's a few of them down. They are still living around here nowadays.
Okay, 999 Drive Away. Do you remember them?
Yep.
Terrible car. Dreadful car. It was a manual.
Yep.
But he wrote it off. And he wrote it off, why? I know why. Because he was texting on his phone and he ran up the back of a woman and he wrote it off. That's how unsafe these cars were. And ever since then, he's always owned shit cars. He's bought the cheapest car he could to get him from A to B and he's not respected them. He's been given a few cars as well. I don't think you respect a car until you earn the money and buy yourself a car with hurt money. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, it's almost very similar to how when I was growing up, mate, everyone had to have the new iPhone or the newest iPod or something, mate. And I remember one instance of being at high school and one of my classmates had smashed their screen on their iPhone. I said, oh, what are you going to do about that? And they said, oh, my parents are going to get me a new one anyway. So there's no sort of sense of respect or care for something, I think, unless you have worked hard for it yourself or, you know, earned it yourself. I mean, you know, a lot of kids these, or not kids, but, you know, 20, sort of 30-year-old people might be, you know, purchasing something, whether it be a car or something like that, with finance as well. They don't fully own it until they've actually paid it off. And depending on how long it is for them to pay that off, it might be, you know, 5 years, 10 years. It depends. You know, it's, there's no, you don't actually truly own something unless you've paid for it with your own hard-earned money.
I agree with you. Good to talk to you. Thank you for your call.
Thanks, Luke.
Okay, you've been great. There we are. Lots to talk about this morning. You're listening to The Night Shift on Triple M.